Caroline, Willie D. Mace, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, it is Hutton O'Clock, our absolute favorite time of the week. Titans take a full 180, a clunker in Cleveland, turn around, have a really good offensive day against the Cincinnati Bengals. What did we learn about the Titans on Sunday?
Caroline, great to be back on. One of my favorite times of the week as well. Titans on again, off again, back on again. What we learned is their identity returned on Sunday. Everything they did in week two worked again this past Sunday in week four. The run game, play action, first down offense, strong defense, not giving up field position. Cincinnati's average starting spot was inside the 20-yard line, and the Titans got back to what worked. On their very first drive, really, of the opening series, they got it to third and one. They converted. They ran the ball in consecutive plays, 8 yards and then 11 yards. And that established what they did the rest of the game. Because in the first half alone, Tannehill, three play-action passes, completions for 59 yards. Henry and Spears, they combined to rush for 97 yards. They contributed with 20 yards receiving. And Hopkins and Moore, they had explosive plays. The defense bent on that first drive. They got a stop, they adjusted, and they played great after that. They were back to establishing their identity, and the game plan was specifically really, really good on first down. And here's why I compare Sunday to September 17th in week two. Over the course of that entire game against what was a good Chargers team offensively, the Titans had to match that Chargers offense. They had seven big plays on first down against the Chargers, and they averaged 10.5 yards per play. And then this past Sunday, they averaged 11.2 on first down plays in the first half alone, not the entire game. They had two touchdowns on first down, six big plays in the first half. It was the second best we've seen from them on first down through the first four games of the season. And so far, just watching this team, pay close attention to see what the Titans are doing and if they're winning first down, because everything flows from there offensively.
Jonathan Hutton is with us, and Ryan Tannehill was asked, hey, moving the ball downfield a lot better this week. What's the difference? And he said, you know, receivers winning those matchups, the offensive line giving him time and giving the receivers time to win those matchups and get open. Yeah. And I think that's a massive part of it. And how much of it is the offensive line won their blocking assignments, the receivers got open, and how much was it Tim Kelly calling a really good game?
I mean, I don't want to say 50-50. I think it's more execution than it is play call. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. But also, just Ryan Tannehill specifically staying in the pocket. He's not afraid to take a hit. We've learned that last year. And we'll start with the good of the passing game. Tannehill, six completions for 30 or more yards this season. Only Patrick Mahomes has more completions for that big yardage chunk. That's in good company. The Titans, they're hitting those pop plays. They've just missed on a couple of others. New Orleans comes to mind, of course. The flea flicker, inches from being a long touchdown. And just comparing last season to this season, the passing game, they had nine completions of 30 or more yards to wide receivers last year. They have five already through four games this season. But here's also the bad news. Only Brock Purdy has fewer completions this season for 10 yards or less among NFL quarterbacks who have started and finished all four games. And that means when the Titans complete a pass, it's more than likely not going to gain the first down yardage on first or second down and 10. But there will be times where the Titans need the short passing game to shine. Kyle Phillips, to me, is desperately needed in this area. And we've seen a huge change under Tim Kelly, Caroline. You're right to mention him, because Tannehill ranks third in average air yards per attempt. He's up nearly two full yards from last season. Think about the play to Burks, the plays to Moore, the plays Sunday to Hopkins. Those shot attempts were not as much of a factor under Downing. And props to Chris Moore, finally, just thinking about the wide receivers. He's been stepping up. He's coming up, and he's becoming the big play guy in several key moments for this team. Three catches, 33 yards or more so far this season. That's notable, because three for 33-plus puts him in elite company. Only Broncos rookie Marvin Mims, who has hauled in some bombs from Russell Wilson, has more catches of that yardage than Chris Moore, which, you know, I wasn't high on him, especially in week one, but he's done nothing but put some respect on his name, and I respect him for that through four games.
Now, Hutt, with that being said, you know, Treylon is not fully healthy. Don't know if he's going to play this game. But
yeah,
when, if and when he does come back and when he's fully healthy, do you still believe that Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine should be guys that have earned more playing time?
Well, here's why, Mace, I say yes. They've been producing. They've been consistent. NWI's had some drops. He had some drops last year, too, but receivers have drops. Tannehill, here's why they're going to continue to get reps. Tannehill trusts those dudes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, isn't that obvious that the rapport is with those guys compared to others? You know, Mace, you know, forcing the ball to Hopkins mm-hmm. in week one was one thing, but the development of the chemistry between Tannehill and Moore is evident to me. He's had that with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine because it's always the second or third, maybe even fourth option on a play. And if he has time to sit and survey based on the O-line, which has been okay in these two wins, he's going to find those options as other guys are covered up, just going back to the speed at the position. So they're here to be role players. They're here to provide the outlet by winning their one-on-one matchup because they're not going to be doubled. And look, Sunday started off a little slow on the opening drive, but where Cincinnati hit plays against the Tennessee defense, but that's the other key here too. If the Titans defense continues to get off the field and the Titans offense is going to be more than three and outs, those guys are going to get more reps, and that's great for them. And I mean, as far as Burks is concerned, until he starts getting on a roll the way we've seen Moore do so through four games, I can't take those guys off the field if they're going to provide the moment plays that really get this Titans team into scoring range for an offense that's desperate to get in that territory.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question, but this one's regarding the defense. When is it going to be a time where the Titans say, listen, we know Harold Landry, for all intents and purposes, is a good player. But right now, he's not giving us what we need. So we need to go to Weaver more, and we need to elevate Murphy and put him in a game. Because right now, Hutt, I mean, and listen, it's not his fault. He's just not giving them, meaning Harold Landry, he's not giving them much on his side.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, every guy responds different in a different way to that ACL recovery. It's been long enough for him to be back on the field. They've paid him handsomely. They've restructured as well to make some room for other guys. But I'm with you. The rotation is going to ramp up more, in my opinion, if we don't see more production. But at the same time, this is also, even in his best year, it was, you know, Henry's a volume back. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Landry is a volume pass rusher by any means, but he's always played up until recently those 90% snap type numbers. And then the production came with his resiliency, his repetitive effort, those type things. Look, here's the other thing, Mace. Mm-hmm. Burrow's hurt. That was a factor. They collapsed in the middle of the line, and they got to him. But as long as the defense continues to be steady like this, the other part of the sack numbers comes with an offense having a lead mm-hmm. and offense, opposing offenses making them throw the football and force the issue. And Cincinnati on the script did fine on the opening drive, plays of 9 and 8 and another 9, 17 yards, 11 yards, 10 yards. But once they got the red zone stop following that opening drive, they allowed fewer than 150 yards and fewer than 3.5 yards per play. The defense did their job. And in the two Titans wins, Mace, the defense has gotten third down stops 83% of the time in those two wins. That's how you win. In those two games, the offense has converted 54% of the time on third down. This game was more of a blowout than even the stats show. And in the, you know, just thinking about how the offense outgained the Bengals by 260 yards on 62 plays that the Titans ran, the defense then took care of business, and they've been consistently doing that each week. 20 other teams have allowed more points than this Titans defense. More importantly, 24 other teams have allowed more points, and they're tied right now for seventh in sacks on the quarterback. So they do have a bit of a luxury to allow Landry to try to find his footing in his rush, so to speak, without having to rotate guys in who are used to just being spot players.
All right, more with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Hey, join Robbie Stanley, Chris Sanders, and Dee Mace at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our award-winning NFL pregame show. We will break down the Titans' Week 5 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton o'clock. Little surprise for you there, Hutton, on Hutton o'clock.
That is amazing.
You like it?
I'm getting
it?
The Chad Withrow Stillman treatment right now.
Shout out to our producer, Nick Frazier, for cooking up that fire intro for Jonathan Hutton. For Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is with us now.
Now, Hutt, the offensive line, they're getting Nicholas back this week.
Yep.
We don't know if he's going to play, but they get him back. Peter Skoronski is still questionable for this upcoming game. But when they do get this group fully healthy, how should they handle this? Because obviously Nicholas was their starting right tackle before the suspension. Chris Hubbard's doing a good job. Not great, but he's holding his own. It's the left side where Andre Dillard hasn't been playing well, even though he did play well against the Cincinnati Bengals. But how should they handle this offensive line situation?
Yeah, and it wasn't good last week, despite the result was awesome, but left tackle continues to be an issue. So Skoronski's their guard. They continue to say that. They didn't work him anywhere else. Petit Frere was left tackle at Ohio State, Mace. Mm-hmm. What, would you consider that?
There's a possibility. To me, I just want to put the best five linemen on
the field.
And if that means moving Nicholas over to left, then that's what you do. But I think it that may occur maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think they're just,
yeah, when they get back from London,
exactly,
or something.
I don't think they're just all of a sudden he can play this week, throw him at left tackle. I think they're going to give him an opportunity to work itself back into the lineup.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there.
Well, the other thing too, like, this is a Titans team. The offensively, that they play well against bad defense, or they play off of the Titans defense facing an offense that can't score, like Cincinnati. And I'm not trying to take anything away from what they did. They were dominant. But I'm just looking at the schedule coming up, the Colts defense, Ravens defense in London. Then you've got the off week. They will be back home in the Oilers throwbacks against the Falcons defense. Steelers on November 2nd. That's the one that can get after Tannehill. Then they have the Bucks and the Jags. So, you know, they don't have the Cleveland defense on the schedule, on the horizon for a bit. And that's a good thing. You can work some things out. But left tackle, so far from what I've been able to observe, and I'm no offensive line coach, I'm not Mike Munchak, left tackle is an issue no matter who they're facing. And they've got to devise a plan that allows them to overcome that spot. Hey, the other thing too, mm-hmm. I noticed was Wiley on Sunday, a lot more than Wesco.
Yeah.
That's also a good thing. They're adjusting to that. So props to that change. And hopefully that's consistent as well, because he was very inconsistent on his assignment when he was in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. The blocking was better, significantly better on Sunday than it was in Cleveland. But, you know, we talked all offseason and said, hey, it's going to be the Jags and the Titans and the Texans and the Colts. You know, they're figuring things out. And we always think we have everything figured out in July and August, and then September and October come, and you know all those predictions seem a little bit silly. But Indianapolis looks like a significantly better team than I expected them to look. Anthony Richardson looks better at this point than I ever could have expected him to look. What's your take on this Colts team and this game coming up this weekend?
Two wins on the road, two losses at home for Indy. You know, and Richardson, you're right. He looks and plays. He looks and plays like he did at Florida. Inexperienced quarterback at times. If Tennessee makes him win the game from the pocket and they force him to read through his progressions by taking the primary target away, could be a very long day for the Colts offense. At the same time, you know, he could go out and play like we've seen him play against Utah or Tennessee, for that matter, a year ago. He was far better against the Vols. I've been just chatting with Withrow about that game numerous times. What we saw from Richardson in that game versus other defenses and other week-to-week inconsistencies with him, accuracy-wise and much more. Titans just need to confuse him. Vrabel and Bowen. Shane Bowen's done an excellent job being the defensive coordinator, and he's got the personnel to go out and really make this a long day at the office for a rookie quarterback. It's time for him to take his lumps. The Titans need to take their shots on him. Don't lose their cool and bail the Colts out of the same way the defense bailed out the Browns on numerous occasions. And they should go and win a game against Indianapolis that is very obtainable and very necessary for who this Titans team believes they are, and a Colts team that is rebuilding with a general manager that's probably going to be replaced in Chris Ballard, just based on new head coach, new quarterback, and who knows what's happening with Jonathan Taylor this week.
Now, looking at, you know, this Titans team after a quarter of the season over with, what has surprised you about this team thus far, and what has disappointed you about them?
So the disappointment, Mace, has been with the O-line. And it's not the fact that the players have disappointed, because I think everyone kind of thought these guys were backups for good offensive lines across the league, and now they're here, and we're thinking, oh, they're going to, you know, come together, next man up, and this is going to be the new look O-line that's on the more affordable end than the top tier left tackles or name any spot. You also knew it was going to be a struggle when they lost Ben Jones, but that hasn't been the focus. It's been more on the edge, and that's concerning based on what Tannehill went through a year ago. Al-Shaair is another one for me, based on what we saw in the preseason to what we see now. And the surprise in a good way is at wide receiver with Moore. I think that's evident just based on the big playability that all of a sudden we've seen from him. And look, I think a month in, I'm still looking for more of the confirmation of what we were told, what we saw, what the hype was about at certain spots. And I still want to see Chigakonkwo become the top tight end option for this offense, and we're still waiting.
And I think he had a better day on Sunday, but yeah, I would agree. I need to see more of him. I want to see more of, you know, I just need to see more from Chigakonkwo. But also, go ahead.
Well, Spears as well. I mean, again, like that, they've gone back and forth on, you know, and they're doing that on their game plan, which is fine. They're allowed to do this. But in the passing game, Spears has 10 catches for 28 yards. There's got to be another layer there. How does Spears evolve in this offense? That's got to happen for a rookie as he goes into month number two. And it's a huge month, by the way, that just reading through NFL stuff last week, the 10 of the last 11 Super Bowl champions, they've not had more than one loss in the month of October. So it's, if you want to see who's contending for the Lombardi, pick a team that's very consistent in month two after they get the wrinkles worked out.
Yeah, October is when it gets real.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's injury-ridden, but still your best ability is your availability. Treylon Burks, You know, I was so bought into what he did in the offseason. I think he did all the right things. And now, unfortunately, Treylon Burks is getting that label of a guy that just simply cannot stay healthy. And I don't know how good this passing game can be on a consistent basis if Treylon Burks can't be part of it.
And right now, they can overcome, you know, certain knee problems, swelling, a short-term soft tissue injury. They can overcome one guy going down with that. The depth, though, is not going to be able to hold up whenever they have three, four, five pieces of the puzzle fall and drop off before the avalanche took place last season, right? We've seen what happens there. The depth here can really show itself in a bad way, or it can hold together until you get guys back that are able to stay healthy and don't rush getting back onto the field. That this is a key period of time for Treylon Burks, because they went from limited to not practicing a week ago,
right.
Ruled him out way in advance, and here's hoping he doesn't come back too soon, because right now, at least from what we saw this past week, Tannehill's able to go to other options. Another guy goes down, then there's not much there. And Kyle Phillips is key as well to this. They need that middle of the field guy that is able to turn and move the sticks as well. And he's able to find that yellow line that's not laying across the field, but he's just not on the field. That's the problem.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Always appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by, Hutton. We'll chat next week.
Yep, always enjoy this. You guys have a great rest of the week.
Awesome. Appreciate it, you too. Mm-hmm. We will react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say there, plus the offensive line. You got some options. What do you do? What's the best plan moving forward going into this game against Indianapolis? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.